Community Focus has been brought to you by the Crum Agency, providers of MIMIC Insurance. Their telephone number is 734-254-1976, and they are online at krummagency.com.
You're listening to the station focusing on the Plymouth-Canton community. This is Community Focus on 88.1 The Park. Good evening and welcome to Community Focus. On Community Focus, we talk to people of interest in the Plymouth-Canton community. Last month, the community lost a true icon with the news of the death of Margaret Dunning. Miss Dunning is known for her philanthropy, which helped the Plymouth District Library and the Plymouth Historical Museum, among other groups. She also is known for her love of cars. Salem High School teacher Darren Sylvester and a couple of his students interviewed Miss Dunning in 2008 at the time of her 98th birthday, and we have that interview for you now.
I'm Margaret Dunning. I was born in Redford Township in the year 1910, June the 26th. I imagine you get some strange things on here every once in a while.
They're all good. Well, who do we have? We have Hal Young.
Oh, yes.
We've had a number of people from the 30s. 30 would have been Evelyn Ash
Lefevre.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You go back to the Ashes, I know, yeah.
And then we had Audrey Acuff O'Keegan.
No, that's not familiar.
She's class of 32. Helen Rybar.
Yes, oh yes, Rybars, yes.
And then Eldora Fallon Melton, I think is her name. Mm-hmm. She's class of 34. And then, of course, we just came from Jeanette Schreier's house.
Yes, isn't she a lovely person?
That's
no,
fun.
Jeanette, she's a really very sound, down-to-earth person. Very nice. Oh, and Howdy. It never was Howard. It was always Howdy Shire.
He always liked that one.
Yeah.
What were your parents?
Charles Dunning, Elizabeth, but always known as Bessie Rattenberry. He was a farmer, quite a large farmer, and I called him the Potato King of Michigan because all the large hotels demanded my father's potatoes.
Where was the farm located?
It was on the corner of Plymouth and Telegraph Road, and the house still stands even after my childhood.
And how big was your family?
Number one. I always wanted to be number one, so they left it alone. They were married late in life, and then it was 12 years after they were married that I was born.
When did you first move to the Plymouth area?
We moved here, I would say, in around 1925. But my mother was a Plymouth girl and a graduate from the high school here.
Why did your family move?
It was a time that real estate became very progressive, I would say, and there were many old farms and things picked up as subdivisions. As you know, the Depression came along and finished that up.
So who were some of your good friends?
I would say pretty much the people that you would see in the old Plymouth Mail. So many of them were people that operated different businesses in town. C.G. Draper, for instance, that was a jewelry place, and they lived right over here on Church Street. And Allison's garage and Cheers, the Buick garage. You see, I do like automotive, after all. Well, the Schraders, all the names that you see, Wilcoxes, the old names that you are trying to study right now. I'll have to tell you a little story that Edna M. Allen, she was principal of the high school, and she said our class was socially, but not academically, inclined. We really were notorious for having parties and going places. And those days, the barbecues were just coming in. We went to a lot of dances and a lot of movies back there. We have lost something that is really very precious, that Penniman Allen Theater. It was built of the very nicest qualities for a small theater. We had a very nice organ in there. In fact, the organist came out from Detroit every night to play for the movies. Once in a while, we would have a play that was on the stage there. It was beautifully done. The sides were decorated with lights behind Tiffany glass, gorgeous Tiffany glass. And if you will look at the museum up above the very front, there's a very small window, and that's made out of glass that was salvaged from the fire down there. That building had a bowling alley downstairs, and it had a dance floor up above, besides having the theater there. We had ushers to the seats. In fact, one of the old machines is down in the museum now, and it had a nice balcony in the theater, too.
Can you tell us anything about what you know or what you've heard when the high school burned down?
My cousin was just starting school at that time. My understanding is the city people, as usual, arose to the occasion. The churches took them in their recreation places. Any large store or anything that had any room at all. They just gave out to the school district to get classes back together and going. It was just an outpouring of love back to the community.
You mentioned the fire at the theater. What do you know about that?
It was a very bitter cold day. It was around 4 below 0. Well, this young man went down to, I guess, thaw the pipes, and the place caught on fire. From this window here, we could see the fire down there.
So when you came out here to Plymouth High School, were you going to school here?
I was going to school in the East, and my mother was called on jury duty before I had to go back that fall. And I became quite well acquainted with quite a few of the people here in town. Of course, school started for them, and they said, "Why aren't you going to school?" And I said, "No, I got to go to the East to school." "Well, come on, just go to school, just for a week or two. We'll have a lot of fun." So I gave in and went, and I did have a lot of fun. So when my mother came home, she said, "Well, you leave for school such and such a day." And I said, "I'm not going." And she says, "Oh, yes, you are. But what do you mean you aren't going?" And I said, "I like the school down here. Why can't I stay here?" And she was building the house here at the same time.
When you say she was building the house, was it actually like her taking the wood, or she had help?
Oh, no, you have to have a builder. Our house was built by a Godchuck. He built many houses here in Plymouth. He was considered the first carpenter of town, I would say.
Who were some of your favorite teachers while you were in?
Well, George A. Smith, who was the head of the schools at that time. I think he was a fantastic man and a very strong promoter of a number one school. Our schools were probably considered the top of the group of schools at that time. Well, there was Edna Allen. She became principal, and she was equal to a professor in any college. And there was Gertrude Fiegel, who was a history teacher. I ran the gauntlet of the whole all of them.
One of us says she has a book if you want to get into your yearbook of 29.
Oh,
you want to look at it, maybe?
Yes, that'll refresh my mind.
Yeah.
The old Poitian, yeah. The faculty, oh yes. Oh yes, Minnie Trout. We always used to laugh at that name, but she was here. She was mathematics. Thelma Dykhouse, she became Claude Dykhouse's wife, and he became principal later on. He was a science teacher, and we weren't the Brunson Burners. That's all I remember about science. Beef Matheson, Kenneth Matheson, but we called him Beef Matheson. He was physical training.
Did you guys have to wear certain uniforms?
Oh, we wore bloomers, I want you to know. And they were pleated, and they were made of serge material, nice and hot for the summertime, and a midi top. Well, I'm sure there must be a picture of that in here someplace. John Emmons, he became principal at one time, too.
Was Carvel Bentley in there?
Buddy? Oh, yes, Carl Bentley in here. Yeah.
It was very funny. Helen and Eldora. Eldora came out and said, "Oh, he's such a good-looking man."
We juniors and seniors just swooned as they walked down the hall. Wow.
Yeah.
And I remember he had a blue tie that matched his eyes, and that got me.
They spoke of his eyes, too.
We were quite proud of our high school. I thought the gymnasium was fantastic, and it looks pretty small today when I go in. And of course, my dear friend Irene Waldorf taught here, but she came in just after I. Irene put in a little over 40 years of teaching. I think there was probably about 38 she did here, 37.
When did you learn to drive?
When I was 8 years old.
And out on the farm?
I went out through the side of the barn, too. Well, I wasn't long enough to hit the brakes that well. And the siding gave. I didn't, but the siding did.
What kind of car was it?
Oh, heavens. It was a Overland. There were three classes of Overland. The baby class, the middle class, and then a huge, and we had the huge old Overland with brakes that were way down here. And I didn't hit the brakes. Didn't stop me from driving, though. I got right back in. My first car was Model T, by the way. I drove through Chicago when I was 12 years old. My aunt and uncle lived in the Upper Peninsula, and so we came down from Houghton in the upper down through Chicago to come home. Oh, yes, we had our punchers in there, but I could change tires. That was nothing. That was just... Remember, those Model Ts, they would go all day and all night if you treated them right, but you didn't force them. Yours truly is not a morning person.
But when you're going to work on your 99th year, you're going to start early.
I'm already working on it, folks. Well, watch out. I'll ask you a few questions.
I heard something about the old cemetery that we've been working on down there. Tell me anything about what you guys do in the old cemetery.
Well, one of the fun things, what the boys used to think was very funny, was to go up there and give you a candle to go in to the inside of that sheer tomb, I would say. It was quite a little room of its own, but the doors were pretty bad, and it was pretty hard to get in there. I don't know why, but I remember a glass deal over the top of the casket, and we had dripped quite a little bit of wax by that time to see in Mr. Shear. I'll tell you, you got in, but you got out in a hurry. The door was a little wider when you came out, just poured out of the place.
Who were some of the folks that used to go down there with you?
Oh, there was Bud Schrader.
Carney?
Oh, yes, Elmer Carney. He was president of our class.
Oh, he was?
And he led us many places, let's put it that way. He was good president. I was treasurer, so I should know. Dutch Hubert, he was a lot of fun. His father was the head of the First National Bank down here at that time. There was Jane Giles, and she was quite a gal. And Velma Pitts, Betty Burroughs. And Bill Bake brings back a lot of people, I'll tell you. Pardon me? The survivor.
The yes, survivor right. From a,
yes.
The 98th birthday.
That's right. Yeah, I call us survivors. Yeah. And I'm not complaining because life has been good to me. Very good.
Did you go on to college?
Yes. U of M.
And you graduated from...
No, the Depression came in the meantime, and I came home and became a banker.
Now, did anything ever wild happen while you were at the
bank?
Well,
we got held up one time. And I looked at that gun, and I thought it was a cannon out of the park. It looked that big to me. Whoa! That was an exciting day, I'll tell you.
Lunchtime at school. Did you stay at school?
Oh, no. I just walked home. You see, I had just only a block to come.
And so the campus, or I guess the high school, was just open, and you would leave?
Well, they either had to bring their lunch, or I guess some of them did go downtown, but that was... You didn't go out to eat that much at that time. Even the shops would almost close up. I know several of them did for 1 hour. And
what were some reasons why kids got in trouble?
Who, me get in trouble?
Oh, of course not.
Why, of course not. I'll tell you, there was a pretty big arm that hung out there. My mother always said, whatever happens at school, it happens. But when you come home, you answer to me. And it was a much bigger answer to do. So I was a little bit on the leery of being caught.
What would be trouble in school?
Principally, anybody being a little sassy or a little smart to a teacher. That was not condoned at all. And we used to have monitors in the hall. I don't think they've ever had that for a long time. It was very well controlled. As I say, we had a little compound city of our own in the school district. Kind of fun. But it really wasn't bad.
Did you get involved in athletics at all yourself?
I aspired to play basketball, of all things. I got pushed down on the floor many a time, but I learned to do my own little tricks on the floor, too. I found out that I was small, but if I had sturdy legs and I could stand there, I could take some of the big ones and just flip them. There were more people got on the floor with me after I had a few good scrapes on my knee. Well, I can show you some nice scars, folks.
What were some of the hardest classes that you remember?
George A. Smith had a class, they didn't call it law, but it was a civic class that was really law. And I loved my history classes. I had a very good teacher. My mother was a history buff.
So which teachers were the most strict?
They were all fairly strict. I think that's what kept us in line pretty well. There was the usual passing of notes back and forth and things. Oh, that was big. We thought we were getting away with it. And, of course, the teachers had eyes in the back of their heads, so... I'm not going to tell you girls anything at all because you've probably tried it before. You write your note and put it in the shoe and then you bump the next person and it goes right on up to where it's supposed to.
That's
very tricky. That's very tricky.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get caught with a note that you remember?
Of course. You always got caught. They knew what you were doing.
Was there a lot of homework in the classes, or did you do
quite a little bit, yes. My mother, I would come home, and she didn't mind for an hour or so on wasting my time, and then it was study time.
Okay.
When I got my assignments through, I was off to play. But she never would let me come home through the city down here. She said, you come straight home. She said, that's where you get into trouble. We had several drug stores downtown that you get your sodas, and people came and you talked and back and forth. My mother said, nope, you come home.
Is there advice that you can give to my students from your generation to our generation?
I should be the last one in the world to give advice on that. But enjoy your high school years. I think they're some of the most important things in the transition of becoming a stable person out into the community. And remember, your folks are a little smarter than you think they are. And it's awfully hard to give in, I know. Do a little bit more listening to what your family has to say. It doesn't hurt to curl up at the corner with a nice book. Whatever you're interested in, pursue it into reality. There is more out there to choose from than there's ever been. Things that never even existed when I was young. Of course, I probably wouldn't aspire to them anyway. But I do not know how you can say, I am going to go in and I'm going to be thus. And so you're going to have to be the most dedicated person in the world. But I say, try it. And if you don't like it, for heaven's sakes, be very flexible. You must enjoy whatever you get into.
I knew you had met or had known Anna Smith a little bit or knew who she was.
I have been steeped in Anna Smith from so many people from Plymouth because she touched so many lives in Plymouth. She was a dedicated teacher here. She was one of the most respected people in town. She was apparently a very persevering person and inspired many others. At 90-something, she was still spading her garden for summer.
I've done a number of research on the class of 1886, Mamie Connors.
Oh, she was a card. She was one of the funniest persons. I think there must have been a lot of Irish in them. She had her funny sentences, as she would say.
And then Ruth Whipple.
Ruth E. Houston Whipple. She was a brilliant piece, and she did not give in on her ways. She had certain things that were going to be done just so, and she adhered to them. But she was a very brilliant person. I think she could have been governor. She was a good teacher. I had her one year for public speaking.
And the last one that was on this list of people was Phoebe Patterson.
Oh, Phoebe Patterson. She was a reputation all of her own. She was the first, I think, woman judge.
Justice of the peace, I guess.
Yeah, Justice of the Peace. And we as kids, as you asked what we did for devilment, that was one of the things we did. Charlie Thume was the chief of police here in Plymouth. We would get in one section of town, and mufflers were the great deal. We would just rub it up till the neighborhood just would be calling into the chief of police. By the time the police chief would leave, we would leave that section of town and go to another section and get the bonfire started there with some more backfires on car. I mean, it was such simple, dumb stuff that we did, but we got a big kick out. We thought we were just wonderful. And when he occasionally caught some of us, and believe me, I was one of them. I was a little scaredy cat. She went to bed early at night, and we'd go down, and he would knock on the door, knock on the wood on the outside. It was right near the railroad track on Ann Arbor Trail down there. And she would stick her head out the window, and she'd say, 30 days or $50. She passed it right then and there.
Really?
And $50 to come up with. Whoa.
How does the Depression affect the Plymouth area?
In some respects, it did some good. We got to know our neighbors very much better than we would have otherwise. We didn't have much money to go out with. No one did. So we were brought down to an even class. And you found out some people could entertain in one way and some in another. And somebody else would have an interest that maybe that you stimulated you for books. Then they had what they call penny suppers. On Monday night, you went to, well, we'll say Methodist Church. Maybe on Tuesday night, you went to Presbyterian Church, and you found good speakers.
What's your best memory of high school?
We had just a whale of a time, our class. You will look back, and you will think of the kids many, many times, and you'll lose track of them, and then you'll think, oh, what a wonderful time we had. Why didn't we know that we should have been more clued in on what the good times we were having? Just make the very best. Are you seniors or juniors?
We're going to be seniors.
Well, this is your big year. Remember, you're number one in high school. So just keep your head up, both of you. I hope you enjoy life as I have enjoyed it. It's been a very good trip.
You've been listening to Community Focus on 88.1 The Park. Today's interview featured Margaret Dunning and was recorded in 2008 by Salem history teacher Darren Sylvester and a couple of his students in his Michigan history class. You can hear Community Focus on Wednesday following Newsfile at 5:30 on 88.1 The Park.
Community Focus has been brought to you by the Crum Agency, providers of MIMIC insurance. Their telephone number is 734-254-1976, and they are online at krummagency.com.